Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 44 of Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to be reading in verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And once again, as we're continuing to go verse by verse through this chapter of the book of Revelation, the Apostle John is receiving a vision from God himself. And as he turned, after hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he turned to see that voice, he was given a glorious look into the person of Jesus. And this is his reaction. This is the Apostle John, who was a true child of God. His sins were forgiven. The Lord had saved him, paid for all of his sins. And yet, when he turns and he sees the one like unto the Son of Man, who could only be Jesus, and he sees this description that we were given of him being clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Well, we all know the brilliant light that the earthly sun can put out. Well, here, this is an image. It is a picture of the brilliant spiritual light of eternal God. The glory of God is shining towards John. And so, in response, when he saw him, it says, I fell at his feet as dead. You know, the Bible tells us about God and his holiness, his purity, his sinless perfection. The Bible tells us of his glory and greatness and of his almighty power, and we read these things, and yet there were men in the Bible who were given glimpses into the nature of God that go beyond words. Of course, the words that God has given us are glorious enough in themselves, and we're very thankful to him, and we don't need to see these things. Yet some men were given visions of the Lord, and all we can do is look at their response. And let's do that. Let's turn to Isaiah, which is one of the more commonly known reactions from a prophet of the Lord, the prophet Isaiah, who also was a true believer. That this isn't a reaction from a sinner who is in his sins, but a true believer who has had his sins forgiven. Yet, at the same time, a true believer who remains in the body, in the flesh, in the physical body. And in our physical bodies, there is indwelling sin. And that, without any question, is part of the reason why the true believers, these men we read of in the Bible, react this way. It says in Isaiah 6, in verse 1, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And with this act, by one of the seraphims, it would be an act of God, as the seraphims are another picture of God himself. They qualify Isaiah to stay in the presence of God to receive this particular vision. And yet we see Isaiah's natural reaction when he sees this awesome God, this great King of kings and Lord of lords seated upon his throne. When he sees the holiness of God and the glory of God, and all he can say is, Woe is me, he is undone, a man of unclean lips. And that is a normal reaction for the believer. You know, Ezekiel was shown an image when he was by the river of Chebar. We read in Ezekiel 1, and that image also was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And let's just read towards the end of that chapter after he's seen many of these things. And it says in Ezekiel 1 verse 26, And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon it the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Jehovah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And then the Lord tells Ezekiel to stand upon his feet, and he begins giving him divine revelation from the mouth of God. But again, we see a reaction. The place of a man in the presence of God is face down. He fell upon his face. It is to cry, Woe is me, I am undone. Remember the prophet Daniel. And Daniel, when he was given one of the many visions that God gave to him in Daniel chapter 10, it says in verse 4, And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Daniel, the most faithful of men, we only read of his wonderful obedience in the Bible, of his desire to pray to God no matter what. He would even sacrifice his very life rather than deny God and refuse to pray. And this man, when he encountered the Lord of hosts, when he came into the presence of the Almighty God of the Bible, all that he saw within himself was not a faithful, obedient child of God, but his comeliness was turned into corruption. He retained no strength. He saw his sins, his failures, the ones the Bible doesn't even record. He saw his tendency not to be perfect before God or to obtain to that perfect standard of the glory of God. And so he ends up on his face as in a deep sleep and his face toward the ground. And that is the proper position for a sinner before the one that we have sinned against. And as we are in these bodies of flesh, of course, once God changes these bodies and he gives us a new resurrected body and we enter into the glorious new heaven and new earth and God will dwell with us, we will be with him forevermore, well, then we won't have these types of reactions at being in his presence. But as long as we do have sin in us, as long as it resides in our earthly body, and we have to say we are a sinner, well, then these kind of reactions will continue. Well, of course, while God was writing the Bible, no one is meeting God in the way that these prophets met him. We meet him in the scriptures today since the Bible was completed. Well, let's continue here in Daniel chapter 10 and read verse 10 and 11 and then verse 14 through 19. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then down in verse 14, Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. By the mercy of God, we have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Each elect is as Daniel, a man greatly beloved in Christ. And yet, still that doesn't change the holy nature of God and our feebleness to stand before him unless he qualifies us to do so. And this is also what the Apostle John was experiencing as he fell at his feet as dead. Now let's go back to our verse in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, here John has fallen down at the feet of the one like unto the Son of Man as dead. And the response of Christ is he laid his right hand upon me. And we discussed this just a little while ago, as we saw that in his right hand were seven stars, and we talked about the right hand of God. Now let's just go to a verse to remind us quickly in Psalm 17 what God has to say about his right hand. In verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. And again, the Lord Jesus is the one at the right hand of God. We saw that with the verse in Romans 8, verse 34. But it also says in Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And this is why the Bible says in Psalm 16, in verse 11, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The right hand of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saveth by his right hand by Christ, and through him there is eternal life. There is pleasures forevermore. So the picture here in this mini parable, as the Apostle John is on the island of Patmos, that is a true historical fact, and he received a vision from God. He saw these things that caused John to fall at his feet as though he were dead, and that is due to his own sinfulness, still in the flesh, though he be a child of God. There is a reaction from John that is a normal reaction because of the sins that we still possess in our physical bodies that leads to death. And yet the Lord Jesus touches him. He laid his right hand upon him. And with that physical act of reaching out his right hand and laying it upon John, it points to salvation. It is as though the Lord Jesus is saying, look, John, I have saved you. I am qualifying you through the fact that I have taken all your sins upon me. I have already given you a new resurrected soul, and shortly I will give you a new resurrected body. And all this is being conveyed as Christ laid his right hand upon him. And even though it doesn't say that John rose up or that he lived or anything like that, the implication is through this this action of the one like unto the Son of Man and laying his right hand upon him, that he no longer would lay at his feet is dead. And notice that Jesus goes on to say, saying unto me, that is unto John, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now that's exactly what we read that God said to Daniel. Fear not, Daniel. And this is a statement to encourage the true believer, a man like Daniel who is greatly beloved. Fear not, Daniel, though you still have sin within you due to your physical body, yet be assured that your sin has been forgiven. All sin that you have ever committed in a body or soul has been forgiven. Your past sins, your present sins, and any future sin has been laid upon me, eternal God, the Messiah, and paid for. And so even though temporarily at this time you cannot stand of your own in my presence, yet I will qualify you to do so now, and know that there is a day coming when you will always be able to stand in the presence of God as you have been given a new body and soul, and you will be one complete whole personality without sin of any kind in any form in you. And so that also is being relayed to the Apostle John. Fear not, I am the first and the last. Notice verse 18 of Revelation 1. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Now, we can see how that relates to the fact that John fell at his feet as one dead, and Christ lays his right hand upon him, the hand that points to salvation. And it is as though Jesus is saying, look, John, though you be dead, you will live because I was dead and I live and I live forevermore. And so too will you live forevermore. You have been given eternal life. And even though at present you are troubled by my presence due to my perfect holiness. Well, this phrase, fear not, sometimes the Lord says it to his people in order to encourage them not to fear the enemy or not to fear men. For instance, it says in Isaiah 41, and here God really stresses this, in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now see that here, that right hand is in view again. And in this passage, God is speaking to Jacob or to the elect, to each child of God. This is how God is able to say, fear thou not, because he qualifies us through his own mercy and grace. He bestows salvation upon us, and he upholds us with the right hand of his righteousness, that is the righteousness of Christ. It goes on to say in verse 11, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, Jehovah thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith Jehovah, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You see, fear not, even in the presence of the Holy One of Israel, because he will help us. And this is just the great and wonderful comfort that the Bible offers to the children of God. We don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear any man, any spiritual force, any working of the world. We don't have to fear principalities and powers operating deceitfully in high places. We don't have to fear even God, even because of our sins. We know that God sees all. We know that when we sin, God is aware of it, that all things are naked and open unto his eyes. And sometimes this troubles us, and it causes us grief, and we're very sorrowful in his presence. And it is really as though we have our faces to the ground. We're cast down in soul. We cannot look up to heaven. We're like the publican that beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we know we have sinned. We have offended God. We know that sin resides in our physical bodies, and yet we desire it to be gone. We want to please God and to be right with him. We no longer want to sin in any part of our bodies or souls, we want that holiness that we see in God, in His person. And so God is speaking to His people, and in our present condition, when He says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, so will we finally be delivered from the bondage of this death. So will each true believer, each one whose name was recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, each one who had the atoning work of Christ applied to them before God shut the door to heaven, each one of the elect will receive their resurrected bodies, and they will live in God's presence and dwell as He dwells with us forevermore. And this is the glorious hope and expectation and future for each child of God. Now the phrase, I am the first and the last, is something we've seen already. God in this chapter is really emphasizing this point in a major way, in a way we don't often see in the Bible. God is very capable of emphasizing a truth. He does that all the time. But remember back in verse 4, in the middle of the verse, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come. And then in verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. In verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and so on. And now again, we read, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And once again, God wants us to remember and to keep in mind that He is first, that He is the first begotten from the dead. He's first in that sense. He is first since He is the creator of all things. He is first since He is from everlasting past. He is eternal God. You can't get any more preeminent than that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the first of everything and anything. There is nothing that comes before Him. He is the one who was at the beginning the first. And He's also the last, as He will destroy this world. He will speak the word. It will be the last word. And the earth and the universe and everything in it will be destroyed.